Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We have the opportunity for you to listen at 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening right here on this station. You might get some other corresponding frequencies that you can pick up the signal a little stronger throughout the county. But if you miss it on the FM, you can also catch it 10:30 of a morning, WWBC 1510 AM, as it is rebroadcast there. So today we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Last week, I poked my head in the office on my day off, and there was a message that said, "Pastor, can you tell us the phone number for Creative AC Solutions?" And so we gave them the number and showed up for church on Sunday, and they were like, "Oh, they got us up and running. We are so thankful." It was so hot in the house that it is good to have a person that you can contact, and you know that they are going to get you up and running. I don't know if you've noticed the weather pattern of late, but it starts out hot, it gets hotter, it becomes miserably hot, and then it rains. And so I don't know about you, but I like it when it rains because then it cools it down and my AC doesn't have to work as hard. But if yours has shown some signs of duress during this intense heat wave, give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284. If you are here in the central part of the county, they can come and they can get you fixed up. We are blessed to have two great AC companies that we are affiliated with and know, not affiliated with, but we know them real well here on the radio program. And Creative AC Solutions, they can get you fixed up and keep you cool during this heat wave. And so I was earlier in the week in a meeting with someone, and they said, "Can you believe it is the middle of August already?" And said it just seemed like a few days ago that it was July the 4th. And when you get to it is the middle of August, then you begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel, that the heat waves may be dissipating before too awful long. We always have hopes that by the middle of October, we'll start seeing some cooler weather and things like that. But until then, make sure your AC is running wonderfully. 321-759-3284. Today we are going to go back to the Word of God. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 6 there, verse number 13 of the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Deliver us from the evil one," or "deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," or from evil. And one of the ways that God does that is he tells us in advance things that we can do that will spare us heartache and misery. It will keep us from experiencing negative consequences that we don't want in our life. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have the Ten Commandments. You'll also find them in Exodus chapter 20. And the commandment that we're going to look at this point in time is, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Remember, these last six of the Ten Commandments have to deal with our relationships with other people. It has to do with honoring your father and mother, not killing one another, not committing adultery, not stealing, not bearing false witness, and not coveting. All of those have to do with our relationships. The reason that God gave those commandments is because by the time this is on the scene, by the time the children of Israel are being delivered from Egyptian bondage, mankind had already shown a great propensity towards lying to one another, dealing with false witness against one another. And we're going to look at some of that today, some of that history. You and I, we don't need to resort to manipulating tactics, because if we stand in truth, if we stand before the child of God, we know that he is going to provide everything that we have need of. And so we don't need to be jealous or covetous of what someone else is experiencing in their life. We need to say, you know what? My God is able to supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I'm very thankful that I don't have to deal with other people in falsehood. I can deal with them in truth. It is a whole lot easier to remember things when you tell the truth. So all of this has to do with relationships. Listen, you would think that this would be a pretty simple, straightforward topic. I want you to know that by the time I got done doing the research for just this portion, there were 27 pages of notes. We're not going to touch on all of them or anything like that. I'll boil it down. There's a lot of duplications and things like that, but I've got a spreadsheet made out that I have here that talks about all sorts of different categories. You know, why we shouldn't tell the truth. You know, the way or why we should not fail to tell the truth. What some of the consequences are, what's the nature of God, what's the nature of the devil, how does he operate in all of this, reasons why we don't, what's the reputation of the believer supposed to be like, some of the different applications of our life, what does lying in government look like, what sort of relationship are there supposed to be in those cases. So we're going to look at a number of things, and if you think that it is a small problem, I want you to realize that you can discover that it's not a small problem just by turning on the news. You turn on two different paradigms of news. You can find conservative news and you can find not so conservative news. You can find all sorts of different labels, and you can turn it on. You can have one person say something, another person say something exactly contradictory, and both of them believe that they are telling the truth. If turning on the news doesn't cause you to realize that there is a problem with lying in our society, then look at your politicians. Look at our politicians and say, okay, I don't think that lying is something that they are exactly exempt from. There's a massive problem, and some of the ways that people have tried to navigate these waters is to say, well, I'm a compartmentalized individual. And so when I'm in my church compartment and I say this, I'm saying it and it is absolutely true. And when I go to work the next day and I'm in my work compartment and I say something that doesn't line up with what I said on Sunday, it is also true. It's true in that compartment of my life. And then when I come home, I'm in this compartment and I'm true to who I am at that point in time. Listen, we need a synergy. We need a consensus of our behavior where we're the same wherever we are. Listen, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we need to be the same at work. We need to be the same at church. We need to be the same at home. People need to know that we are going to be a witness to the truth, not bearing false witness against one another. Okay? If looking at those things do not convince you that lying is a problem, then all of a sudden I want you to go hang around some kids, some young kids, and you will find that that they have no problem being selfish. And if they do something for which they would get in trouble, you don't have to teach them how to come up with another line. I mean, if you ever watched VeggieTales, you know, there was a person, I don't remember which one, but the episode was called The Big Lie. And every time this character told a lie about this breaking of the plate, the lie just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it became more ominous and more threatening. And that's the thing with lying. You have to remember all of the various things that you have said in order to try and keep from contradicting yourself and demonstrating in public view that you are lying. If dealing with small kids won't do it for you, if you're still not convinced, then I encourage you to hang around some older kids, maybe in those teenage years, late teenage years, and hang around with them for a while and see if they are really having a lifestyle of truth going on in their life. A lot of times they begin to tell all sorts of stories. You can go to work, you can go to a salesman. You can find deception everywhere. And people try and classify it. Well, it's a white lie. It's a big lie. It's a little lie. It's not that big of a deal. All of that sort of stuff. So we're going to look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie. The fact that God tells us not to do it ought to be enough reason for us to say, you know what? If that's the case, then I am not going to lie. If God tells me not to do it, then I'm not going to do it. By the way, there used to be a principle that said whatever you wanted to have happen to someone else that you were lying to them about, that if you were found out to be lying, then when you were discovered to be a liar, whatever it was that you were trying to get done to them would be done to you. And so we don't want to open ourselves up to those sorts of vulnerabilities. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, I know a lot of people don't like, or not Deuteronomy, in Leviticus chapter 19, I know a lot of people don't like Leviticus 19 because it details a number of things that don't fit conveniently with a modern degradation of morality. But in verse number 11, it says this: you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So if dealing in truth is not going to happen in your life simply because God commanded it and you don't want anybody telling you what to do with your life, then here God says, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And he goes on, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. When we do those things, when we steal, when we lie, when we swear by God's name falsely, it causes the name of God to be lowered, degraded in our society. And God says, I am the Lord. I don't want to be operating in deception in my life and making it harder for people to believe a word that I say. You know, I believe it was the boy who cried wolf. He cried wolf so many times that people no longer believed him. They did not find him to be credible. And when he actually needed someone to come and help, Nobody believed that he was actually in need anymore. Lying is a huge problem. It's a huge problem. It causes strains in relationships. It breaks down relationships. There are all sorts of horrific things that happen simply because people do not tell the truth. So let's look a little bit at some of the history of people who have lied to one another. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And this is going to have to do with Jacob and Esau. And verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 27 says this: Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, My son. And he answered him, Here I am. Then he said, Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command. Go now to the flock and bring me from there 2 choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, Let me obey my voice and go and get them for me. And he went and he got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on its hands and the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord your God brought it to me. Isaac said to Jacob, Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, Are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, Come nearer now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let the people serve you and the peoples bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Now, look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Listen to verse number 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Lying is not inconsequential. Let me start off and say Jacob was named in such a way that he was known as a person of guile, a person who supplanted or took another person's place, or was a deceiver. That was what his legacy had been all of his life. That's the meaning of his name. And so he ended up living up to that title. But I want to point out to you that this was not a scheme that was hatched in Jacob's heart. This was something that arose from his mother. And I want to encourage us, let's make sure that we train up our children to be people of truth by living out truth in front of them. Don't be the person that says, "Do as I say, not as I do." I have a saying that I tell to my kids, because every once in a while the wrong word comes out of my mouth, and I will say this, not a bad word, just an incorrect word for the context, and it throws everybody off, and I say, "Pay attention to what I mean, not to what I say." Kids learn from watching their parents. There was a dynamic of deception that operated between Isaac and Rebecca. It had come from Rebecca's side of the family, and Isaac was not living up to what he was supposed to do. He had already been told that he was supposed to bless Jacob by God, but he's going to bless Esau. So there's problems in that dynamic there between Isaac and Rebecca, and now she drags Jacob in to the mix as well, and Jacob goes in, and I want you to realize that there was deception in the food that was being served. She was seasoning it so that it tasted like wild game instead of something from their flock. There was deception there. There was deception in the clothing. There was deception in the texture of their skin, that she took some of the hair from the kids, and she realized that her Esau was a hairier person than what Jacob was. They go in, she sends Jacob in, but they forgot about the voice. You see, whenever you make a lifestyle of deception, whenever you are engaging in a deceptive act, whenever you're bearing false witness against another person, there's almost always going to be a detail that you overlook. And the voice. Jacob and Esau spoke differently. And because Isaac could no longer see, he leaned more heavily upon his sense of hearing. And so even though everything looked or felt like it was right, it didn't sound like it was right. And Isaac continued to press and press and press. And he asked Jacob point blank, "Are you my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." He smelled the clothing. It smelled right. It felt right. It tasted right. But it didn't sound quite right. But Isaac ran through the caution light, if you will, pronounced his blessing, and now Esau enters the room. And I want you to hear whenever you read Genesis chapter 27, hear the pain in Esau, who has done what his father told him to, and now he comes in expecting a blessing, and he finds out that someone has come in, borne false witness, had really stolen Esau's identity, and now that person is going to be blessed. There's nothing that Esau can do about it. And he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." Now, I will tell you, in our household, lying always was a serious, serious offense. Even if our kids lied to us, it was eventually found out. It was always the biggest thing. You see, it would cause the correction to exponentially increase. So now Isaac realizes that Jacob has lied to him. He probably also has figured out that Rebekah is in on it. And now there's a problem between Esau and Jacob, all because people didn't deal with one another in truth and integrity. They dealt with one another with deception. And Esau said, "Look, I know my dad's not going to live forever. And when he dies, I'm going to kill my brother." I don't know about you, but I don't like hostile relationships. I just don't. I want to deal with people in truth and integrity. I don't want to go around lying to people. I just assume that I'm a horrible liar, so I might as well be really good at telling the truth. We're going to dig deeper tomorrow. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
the moon.